In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is a very important day because the church has appointed from very ancient times that the cross be brought out on this third Sunday of Lent, as we're nearing the midpoint of Lent, as a consolation for the faithful, as the church says in her Synaxarion. But why the cross? Why now? Why particularly is this so important to us today? Because, my dear brothers and sisters, the cross is getting ignored today. We have so many people in the Christian world today that are preaching Christ, but yet don't pay any attention to the cross. You may hear it mentioned in sermons or gospels and things like that, but in terms of the actual physical manifestation of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the most prominent and prolific symbol in all the world, many are ignoring it. You know, it used to be a test of faith in years past as to whether one was an iconoclast or not by whether they would venerate the cross. Even during the Reformation, when they were trying to find out who among the Roman Catholics, for instance, were among them, they would simply do it by throwing the cross to the ground and seeing who would trample on it. The Protestants did, because it didn't mean anything to them. But the Catholics wouldn't. The same things happened under the new martyrs of the Turkish yoke as well. The cross was always the linchpin. It was the stone that everyone would break their ankles against if they were not able to venerate it. Because by not venerating the cross, we indeed are not venerating our Lord Jesus Christ who hung upon it. Even in many of our hymns and prayers, the cross is almost personified. It will say things like, "Rejoice, O blessed cross of the Lord," as if it's a person. Of course, it's not a person, but it is sanctified by He who hung upon it. And also, every cross in the world maintains that same sanctification because of the Lord who hung upon that wood. It's a very powerful symbol and has been for all of Christian history. The early Christians used to take their thumb and make the sign of the cross on their forehead. Later, of course, that was expanded to the forehead, to the navel, to the right and left shoulder, with, of course, our three fingers here touching in representation of the Holy Trinity, and the two natures in our palm representing the divine and human natures of Christ. Of course, in today's gospel, the Lord Himself talks about the cross. What does He say? "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." The Lord, of course, denied Himself many, many times throughout His ministry. He fasted. He prayed. He denied Himself the pleasure of going and healing Lazarus, instead letting him die so that His power might be made manifest. But we hear those wonderful words before He raised Lazarus, which said, "Jesus wept," because He was so saddened at the departure of His friend. So it was great self-denial on His part, because He could have gone and cured His sickness before He died, but He didn't. He also sweat drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Again, He was asking that the Lord would remove that cup from Him. That cup that His human nature, as much as our human nature, was afraid to drink from. But He didn't. He denied Himself then in order to go on and accomplish the will of His Father. He took up His cross. In fact, He came into this world that He might take up His cross, so that He might go to that ignominious death, which became the salvation for all the world. How ironic it was that the instrument of torture, of degradation, of ultimate debasement before all humanity, would become the life of the world. What are we to do then, my brothers and sisters? How are we to take up our crosses? Often we hear of people talking about their crosses as if they are something, you know, bad that is happening to them, or something unfavorable that they don't want to do, or a physical problem, or a relative, or who knows what else, that is somehow a cross to them. But yet the cross is far more than that. It's not necessarily a bad thing. What is What does it mean when we say we take up our crosses? It's very simple. It simply means that we are to follow and seek after the will of God in our lives as best we can. That is what it is to take up one's cross. Just as the Lord took up the cross in order to obey His Father's will, that's what we do. Sometimes the cross can seem very heavy to us. It can seem almost desperately heavy. But we do have the words of the Scriptures which tell us that all things in the end work together for good for those that love God. We also know that the Lord will not give us any temptation that we can't bear, even though at times we may think somehow that we can't bear it. It's because the Lord is wanting us to turn to Him in those times in order to maintain the cross, to keep bearing the cross. Seeking the will of God in one's life can be a very difficult thing. It can be sometimes torturous to us because we don't know what it is. Some people go through their whole lives trying to seek the will of God. Some people go through their whole lives trying to figure out who they are and what they're supposed to do. And in those instances, many of the times, they're not putting the will of the Lord ahead of these other concerns. Because if we seek the will of God, it will be made manifest to us at every single time in our life what we are to do. But we don't want to turn from the cross ever. Only the Orthodox Church these days brings out the cross as we do, bows down before it. Before thy cross we bow down, O Master, and thy glorious resurrection we hymn and glorify. Always before the cross, through the cross, joy has come unto all the world. St. Paul saying that he wants to glory in nothing but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is life-giving. It is the thing that the Lord places among us that resurrects us, that brings us to Him, that allows all the tumult and all the clutter and craziness of our life to become parted and clear away so that we can see clearly the things of God. There is so much in this world today that gets in the way between us and God. So much. Probably more than at any time in history. And yet it's up to us to look to that one shining cross of the Lord in the sky that brings light and revelation to all of us. It's important that we bow down before it. It's important that we venerate it. Because by doing some, we, in our small part, even from that slight kissing of the Lord's cross, any cross, this cross, the true cross in front of us, any cross that you see anywhere, the cross that you wear around your necks, anytime you kiss that cross, anytime you make the sign of the cross, you are bringing yourself to the throne of God and becoming, if ever so slightly, divinized, partaking of that theosis, whereupon we become like God Himself. It's a great thing. If we could, I would take this cross now in front of us and get into a back of a pickup truck and drive all the way through the city of Buford with it. Because it's that important. It is that important. The cross has to be raised. It has to be glorified. It has to be brought among all the people because we know that there's no salvation among anyone in the world aside from the one who hung upon that cross. That's what we testify to today. That's why we bow down and worship this holy cross. And yes, I said the word worship, because the cross is worshiped by virtue of He who hung upon it. This wood of the cross, the most precious thing that the Lord has ever given us, this instrument of torture, should sear itself into our own souls, because that is what the Lord desires for us. He Himself was lifted up on the cross as Moses lifted the serpent up in the wilderness in the form of a cross. Testified to even back then. He's lifted upon us so that all who look to Him might have salvation. This is the testimony of the Orthodox Church, the true faith of Christ which the Lord has given to us. This is what we must bring among all the people of the world. We say all the time in our liturgies, whether St. John Chrysostom or St. Basil the Great, as we celebrate today, we say that we wish all people who find themselves in schism from the Orthodox Church to be reconciled to her, to be brought back to that true faith in Christ who hung on that cross. And this is how we do it. we raise it and glorify it and say, this is what the Lord desires for all of us, for every single one of us. My dear brothers and sisters, as we find ourselves approaching the midpoint of the fast, it's hard to believe we're there already. And we look into ourselves, we say, well, what have I done so far during this incredibly holy season? Have I accomplished what I had hoped to accomplish? And for many of us, it will be no, we haven't. We haven't done what we thought maybe we wanted to do, or just through carelessness, we haven't done at this point. The cross is brought out to say, look, it's not too late. It encourages us. It brings us forward. It reminds us that we are only at the midway in Lent, that we still can accomplish many, many things, and that we have to turn to our Lord. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time to get busy with this fasting period that we're in. And I'm not just talking about physical fasting either. I'm talking about coming to the Lord in prayer, in repentance especially, in confession, preparing oneself, falling down on one's face as we do twice a day with the prayer of St. Ephrem. Falling down before the Lord on our faces and begging His forgiveness, asking Him to renew our hearts, to create in us clean hearts, to renew right spirits within us. That's what we need to do now, my brothers and sisters. And we shouldn't wait. We shouldn't say, okay, well, I've still got a few more weeks, or, you know, I've got other things to do. There is nothing more important in this world than this season of Lent, given to us every year by the Lord. Nothing, because nothing else that we do or have in this world is going to be taken with us when we leave it. At that point, we're going to be devoid of everything. Nothing is going to matter. All the things we may have accomplished in our life, all the things that we didn't do, all of this is going to be wiped away, and we're going to enter completely naked into heaven, devoid of anything of this earth. That's a sobering thought, but the cross as an instrument of death presents us that reality so that by embracing it, we may ascend to life. It's the only important thing in our lives. So as we move on forward through this holy period, remember these things. Get serious about Lent. Get serious about salvation. That's what you want, isn't it? That's what all of us want. We want to spend eternity with the Lord, and He gives us the choice. No one who doesn't want to be with the Lord will fail to attain that great blessing. But at the same time, we have to demonstrate by the things that we do that the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ is within all of us. May that happen to all of us. May we accomplish the rest of this great and holy period and greet our Lord's bright resurrection after going through the period of trial and tribulation that brings us all to the foot of the cross. Amen.